1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. All these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Amen, and we'll end our reading at the 12th verse of 1 Corinthians and the chapter 10. And with the word of God open before us, let's just briefly unite in a word of prayer, praying for God's help in the service. Our loving Father, we come before Thee in our blessed Savior's name. We are desirous, O God, that we might know the help of the Holy Spirit in both the preaching and the hearing of the Word. We recognize, O God, that we are but only the messenger. It is the message carried by the Spirit that will bring to the soul the salvation that is required. And therefore, we pray for the ministry of the Spirit beyond this building, right into the home, right into the car, the bedroom, the living room of those who gather with us by way of this virtual congregation. Grant, dear God, all links to be maintained throughout the service. Glorify Thy Son even in this small matter. And may the word be sounded out not only, dear Father, in much assurance, but in the Holy Ghost and in power. So answer prayer, meet with every waiting soul. We offer these petitions in and through the Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen and amen. Coronavirus and COVID-19 are terms that we are not going to forget quickly. Neither is the year 2020. Who would have thought that when we met for our watch night service on the 31st of December, that the way of life that we took for granted in 2019 would be so dramatically changed that it has over the last number of months. Every news bulletin, every newspaper headline and conversation in our nation has something to do with the pandemic that is sweeping across our world and our beloved province and nation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul takes the role of a teacher and conducts within the chapter a history lesson for his readership. He reminds the saints in Corinth of the events that led to the children of Israel's escaping the land of bondage and from the cruel tyranny of Pharaoh. He speaks in verse 1 and 2 of their passage through the Red Sea and the provision that God made for them in their 40 years of wilderness wanderings in the verses 3 and 4. Verse 5, Paul recollects how God saw to the destruction of a generation because of their murmuring and their unbelief. The Apostle Paul then focuses on certain transgressions that they committed as a people and thereby warns the saints in Corinth to avoid such sins. Sins such as lusting after evil things, verse number 6. Idolatry, verse number 7. fornication, verse number 8, tempting Christ, verse number 9, and murmuring in verse number 10. Alongside those sins, Paul recollects the judgment that fell on the people because of them. But what I want to focus upon this evening are the words that we find in the verses 6 and 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul tells the Corinthians why he is recounting these historical events within the chapter. He says in the verse 6, now these things were our examples. While in verse number 11 he writes, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. What Paul was saying here is that past events can teach us many important lessons within the present, so don't miss the lessons of the past. The record of such happenings were placed within the divine record for our admonition. The word is warning, according to God's servant, so that we would not repeat the same mistakes. George Santayana is attributed to have said, those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Learning from history then is most important. And that's what I want us to do tonight. I want us to learn from the recent history of our nation. And I want us to learn from that history some simple yet important truths that have come to light once again since the outbreak of COVID-19. My message title then for this gospel message is Pandemic Principles to Ponder. Pandemic principles to ponder. The first pandemic principle for us to ponder is that this world is a dangerous place to live in. This world is a dangerous place to live in. The ungodly and sometimes the godly go about this world as if they were invincible. Their attitude is that nothing and no one is going to stop them doing what they want to do, going where they want to go, and saying what they want to say. However, this strain of coronavirus has taught us all the lesson that the world in which we live is a very dangerous world, and that nobody is invincible. Nobody is invincible. Dangers surround us everywhere. Maybe you've never thought of that. Maybe you've never thought of the dangers that surround you in every place. If you haven't thought about that, then just think with me about the dangers that surround you in the home. The dangers that surround you in your own home. Just think of the dangers that come from electricity, from water, from fire, from gas, from kitchen utensils like knives, even food within our homes. You know, there is the possibility from such things of electrocutions, scaldings, drownings, carbon monoxide poisoning, even food poisoning, the choking, cuts and lacerations, all from the above dangers within your home. Think about the dangers that surround you in the garden and within even your own garage. Consider the dangers associated with the use of power tools, gardening equipment like lawnmowers and hedge trimmers, ladders, chemicals there on the garage shelves, paints, trip hazards, ponds. Get into the garden. Poisonous plants, insect bites and stings. There's dangers in the garage and in the home. Think about the dangers in the workplace. I am told that there are 6 main categories of hazards, dangers that a person may face within the workplace. There are biological hazards. They include viruses, bacteria, insects, animals that can cause adverse health impacts. Secondly, there are chemical hazards that can result in both the health and physical impact of the individual, such as skin irritation, respiratory system irritation, blindness, corrosion, even explosions. Think about the physical hazards within the workplace. These are environmental factors that can harm an employee without necessarily them touching them, such as heights and noise and radiation and pressure. There are safety hazards, things that create unsafe working conditions. We think of exposed wires, maybe damaged carpet that may result in a tripping hazard. And then there are what is known as ergonomic hazards. Ergonomic hazards result in physical factors that can result in musculoskeletal injuries. For example, a poor workstation set up within an office, poor posture, maybe the handling, the manual handling of boxes and the weight within. And then there are psychological hazards within the workplace. These can have an adverse effect on an employee's mental health or well-being. Six dangers within the workplace. Think of the dangers that surround you in your community. Dangers that can arise from careless drivers on the road, drug cartels, paramilitary feuds, burglars, terrorists, civil anarchy, faulty transportation, structural failures that can lead to the collapse of a building, a bridge, scaffolding, or a dam, chemical spills, pollution of rivers and community-transmitted viruses. And then think about the dangers that come from nature. Though not every country faces the same dangers from nature, events in nature can be devastating and most certainly damaging. We think about the dangers that come from wildfires. We saw it there in Australia recently, and even in our own province, gorse fires taking hold of areas there in County Down. Floods, drought, wind, the storms, tsunamis, blizzards, ice, tornadoes, typhoons, hurricanes, earthquakes, subsidence, landslides, mudslides, extreme heat and cold episodes in the weather, hail, even volcanoes. I think I'll stop there in case some of you may decide never to leave your home again and self-isolate for the rest of your lives. But no matter where we look in this world, we are surrounded by dangers. And these dangers can overtake us at any moment and see to the ending of our days on earth. The point that I want to convey to you, the sinner, is this. So many dangers surrounding you. And let me say, I've only recounted some of the physical dangers that you face on a daily basis. But in light of such dangers, would you not need to spiritually prepare for the day of your death for fear that one of these dangers could overtake you and usher you out into God's eternity? Sinner, believe it or not, you're walking on a tightrope every day. And any one of the aforementioned dangers within your home, within your garden, within the workplace, within the community, within and by nature, any one of these dangers could, as it were, knock you off that tightrope of life and launch your soul into a Christless hell. Sinner, you are not invincible. Dangers surround, and any danger could take you out into God's eternity, having never repented, having never trusted in Christ, having never reposed your soul on the cross work of Jesus Christ. For my part, with so many surrounding dangers around me, I'm glad that I've repented of my sin and I've trusted in Christ for salvation. I would ask you, sinner, to open your eyes and see the dangers that surround you, just even where you sit. Boast not of invincibility, but understand how perilous living in this fallen world actually is, and let all of that, let all of it bring you to the cross of Jesus Christ for salvation. Proverbs 27 verse 1 reminds us that we are not to boast ourselves of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And so let us use today, this moment, now, to be sure that we are spiritually prepared for a tomorrow in the will of God that is full of danger and is full of uncertainty. This world is a very dangerous world to live in. And COVID-19 has reminded us of that very principle. And that is for you to ponder tonight. Dangers that surround me, that could take me as an unconverted individual into God's great eternity. Oh, may that lay hold of your heart and bring you to a place of repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a world that is full of danger, and we are going out in the will of God to a tomorrow that is full of dangers and uncertainties. And that brings us seamlessly on to our second point as we continue to ponder some pandemic principles, namely that life is uncertain. Life is uncertain. As I remarked in my introductory remarks, who'd have thought that at the beginning of 2020 we would be passing through a worldwide pandemic just a few months later? I'm sure that for some, plans had already been in place for the summer holidays. Flights booked, sailings secured, holiday lets reserved, hotels selected, trips planned. But all of that has gone out the window. All of it has gone out the window since the outbreak of COVID-19. What we thought was certain has become wholly uncertain. For others, this pandemic and the uncertainty that is surrounding it has put to halt some business expansion, some building project, or some purchase that they were about to begin or to make. Life, if it wasn't already uncertain, has become even more uncertain in recent months and weeks. And I believe that God has used this very pandemic to teach us that principle again, that life is a very uncertain thing. Life's uncertainty is a matter that the Apostle James speaks of there in James chapter 4 in the verse 14. For as you know not what shall be on the morrow, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. God's servant here reminds us that there are none of us that are able to say with any degree of certainty what tomorrow will hold for any one of us. Accidents can so easily happen. Sickness can creep up on us so unexpectedly. Troubles can come to us when we least expect it. And even life's only certainty, and I speak of death, is something that we cannot even be certain about. We cannot be certain about when it will occur. We cannot be certain about how it will occur. We cannot even be certain about where it's going to occur. Just that it will occur at some stage, some point, some moment in our life's existence. Life is so uncertain. What does society tell us? Make your future secure. Prepare for tomorrow. Get everything in order so that if sickness or death comes along, everything will be sorted out because life is uncertain. But many do take time to prepare for life's inevitable end. They put in place their funeral arrangements. They draw up their will. And yet as meticulous as they are about these things, knowing that life on this earth is so uncertain, yet they still make no spiritual preparation to meet God. Is it not the case, my unsaved friend, that You are counting on endless tomorrows, postponing until some future date, somewhere in the distant beyond, of trusting in Jesus Christ for salvation. But the warning of God's word is that our tomorrows are so uncertain, and thus we must act today, now, this moment, if we are to be sure of God's salvation. Oh, that tonight you, the sinner, would take time to give consideration to your latter end and get this matter of your soul's salvation settled once and for all in light of the uncertainty of life. Samuel Davis, who ministered during the 18th century in America as a Presbyterian minister, preached at Princeton College on the 1st of January, 1761. The text he took for that sermon and that message was the words from Jeremiah 28, verse 16. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die. On the 4th of February, just 34 days later, Davis was dead at the age of just 37. During that sermon, God's servant said these words, This year you may die, for your life is the greatest uncertainty in the world. You have no assurance of another year, another day, or even another moment. Little did Samuel Davis know, but on the 1st of January, he was preaching his own funeral service. With life being uncertain for us all, it would do well for every sinner listening to be reconciled to God. It would do well for every saint of God listening to be right with God. And it would do well for every straying one listening to return on to your God, so that if death did come, we would be ready to meet the one with whom we have to do. Life is uncertain. COVID-19 has taught us that very principle. Ponder it, meditate upon it, and let life's uncertainty, as it were, be the very gale that blows you into the harbour of God's salvation. The third principle that this pandemic has caused us to ponder upon is that man is utterly powerless. Man is utterly powerless. On the 17th of March 2020, the Telegraph newspaper published an article by the journalist Philip Johnson regarding the COVID-19 pandemic. The article began with the following strapline. At times like this, we realize how powerless mankind really is. A secular journalist wrote this as a strapline for his article. At times like this, we realize how powerless mankind really is. Now, politicians, medical scientists, and chief medical officers would not want to admit to the sentiments of that particular journalist. No, the mantra that they are putting out at present is that we have this all under control. We are defeating COVID-19. That's the mantra. That's the strapline that politicians and medical scientists and chief medical officers are putting out into society over the airwaves day after day. We're in control. We are defeating COVID-19. And yet, man has been found to be utterly powerless when it comes to the controlling of the virus, the spreading of the virus, and the halting of the virus. Not only that, but to date, man has been found to be utterly powerless when it comes to the cure for this strain of coronavirus. We are being told that it's going to be maybe a year before a vaccine will be found, and even then, we may have to live with COVID-19 for many years to come. You see, this pandemic has shown us that governments and politicians and medical scientists are completely powerless. Completely powerless. Man is not only powerless when it comes to some pandemic, but is powerless when it comes to all that is necessary for salvation from sin. Romans 5 verse 6 highlights to us the utter powerlessness of man. There we read, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Man has no strength of his own. He is without strength. He lies, as it were, in the grave of his sin, hopeless, helpless, ruined, undone, utterly destroyed, being dead in sin. The sinner cannot make their way to God any more than the dead within the grave can come out of the graves and by themselves live. It's an utter impossibility. In the Westminster Confession of Faith, this doctrine of total inability, for that's what I'm speaking of here, is put like this: man, by his fall into a state of sin, hath wholly lost all ability of will to do any spiritual good accompanying salvation. So as a natural man, being altogether adverse from good and dead in sin, is not able by his own strength to convert himself or to prepare himself thereunto. The whole and the utter inability of man. The Scriptures declare that fallen man is a captive, a willing slave to sin, and entirely unable to deliver himself from its bondage and its corruption. Sinners are incapable of understanding and much less of doing the things of God. Such is the depth of the sinner's corruption that it is wholly beyond their power to cleanse themselves from sin or to bring themselves into right standing before God. Thou sinner, you're listening to all of this and you're saying, how depressing. How depressing. What a painter, what a picture you're painting, preacher. What a black canvas, as it were, you're painting with regard to what I am and how I am as a sinner. That I am wholly, totally incapable of ever getting myself into a position where I can get right with God. And yet, as the theologian Buchaners put it, the lost, ruined, and helpless state of the sinner needs to be constantly set before him. For until he is brought to feel it, he will never seek help where alone it is to be found. Oh, sinner, see your utter helplessness. See your utter doom. See your utter hopelessness outside of Jesus Christ. And in seeing that, run to him. Flee to him. Seek refuge in him. The only hope for you, the sinner, is that one invested with omnipotent power comes to you and does for you what you cannot do for yourself. And that one is God. Without his intervention, you will know nothing of the deliverance of sin and its guilt. Oh, may God help you to see the powerlessness, your own powerlessness, when it comes to the salvation of your soul. And in seeing that, may it bring you to the only one who has the power to forgive sins, God and God alone. And may you then throw over to him the task of pardoning your sin and cleansing you from sin this very night. The utter powerlessness of man. COVID-19 has brought that principle to our attention, and it's worth our consideration, and it's worth pondering tonight in the spiritual realm. What is true in the physical is true at times in the spiritual, and it is true here. Man has been shown to be powerless with this pandemic, and yes, with the problem of sin, man is powerless until he seeks help from God. A fourth principle that this pandemic has caused us to ponder is that death is indiscriminate. Death is indiscriminate. As I've watched and listened to the daily statistics relating to COVID-19 deaths, I've been struck at the indiscriminate nature of the great tidal wave of death associated with this strain of coronavirus. Deaths relating to COVID-19 have been indiscriminate in relation to age, from 6-month-old babies to 13-year-old teenagers, through to young adults and those of an older age bracket. COVID-19 has robbed many a family of a precious loved one, regardless of their age. Death, however it comes, whether it be by sickness, by accident, or by some other means, takes people of all ages into its cold and into its cruel embrace. Don't have to go too far in this county to know that, do we? And that's why I encourage the boys and girls listening to this message. That's why I encourage you to be saved tonight. Do you hear your minister? Do you hear your pastor? I'm speaking to you, boys and girls. There you are in your home. There you're listening to the word. You need to be saved. You need your sins forgiven. And you teenagers who are watching in, I encourage you to be reconciled to God. To all the young adults and those of an older age bracket viewing, I would encourage you to repent of your sin and trust in Christ, because for all listening, we know not the day of our death, and therefore it is vital that you are trusting in Christ now for salvation. Deaths relating to COVID-19 have not only been indiscriminate in relation to age, they have been indiscriminate in relation to geography. Only 12 nations in a world consisting of 195 nations have not reported a single case of COVID-19. Only 12 nations. That means that almost the entire globe has been affected by this virus and the death that comes along with it. Death is no respecter of where a person lives, whether they live in the West or in the East, whether they reside in a developed country or a developing country, whether they dwell in a leafy suburb or in a high-rise flat, whether they inhabit town or they inhabit country, it matters not. Death has invaded every part of this globe. Maybe death will come into the town in which you live tonight. It'll march through its streets. It'll tread its housing developments. It'll come into your cul-de-sac. It'll maybe open your gates. It'll maybe even walk up your garden path. It may stride into your bedroom and lay hold of you tonight. Or maybe death will take itself into the countryside tonight and walk the road in which your home is situated. It'll turn up the lane in which your dwelling is located. It'll cross the threshold of your house. And it will remove you from this world. As I've said before, there are no no-go areas for death. So let such a thought and a truth so lay hold of your soul and mind tonight that there is no rest until you're sure that you're ready to die. Yes, death is indiscriminate with regard to age, to geography. It's also indiscriminate with regard to wealth. From slum tenants to mansion dwellers, from the rich and famous to the poor and unknown, death by COVID-19 has come upon those from every part of the wealth spectrum. It matters not what wealth a person has to their name. When death has come to terminate their life on earth, they've had to leave it all behind. Death will come for you someday, and you'll have to leave your wealth behind. Let me ask you on that day, will you be found to be rich toward God? Your wealth will avail you nothing if you die without Jesus Christ. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? May you leave sin's poverty behind. May this night you become a recipient of the riches that are found in Jesus Christ. It's a principle to ponder, is it not? Death is indiscriminate. COVID-19 has brought that principle to our attention. But the last and final principle to ponder tonight in light of this pandemic is the only hope is the gospel. The only hope is the gospel. Where can hope be found in these days when it is in such short supply? That's the question. Well, it's not to be found in the NHS. It's not to be found in Boris Johnson. It's not to be found in Captain Tom Moore. It's not to be found in the chief medical officers and the scientific advisors of the four nations. As thankful as we are for our health service, as thankful as we are for those who rule over us, as thankful as we are for all of these people, yet there is no hope. They cannot give us the hope we need. Hope. True hope. Lasting hope. Solid hope. Everlasting hope is to be found alone in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's the hope for this world. It's the only place of hope. The gospel. The hope of the gospel. This hope is not like the world's hope. That is a wish, a possibility. No, no, no. No, the hope of the gospel is something that is solid, and it's based upon the promises of God, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. These are the great truths, the great promises. Oh, the great hope of the gospel is set before you tonight, that sinner, if you would but repent of sin and believe in Christ to the saving of the soul, that Christ will cleanse you. The blood of Christ will avail for your sin. You'll be reconciled to God, justified in God's sight, brought into a relationship with God that can never be severed, brought into saving union with the Redeemer of God's elect, and brought eventually to home and to glory and to heaven itself. Oh, the hope of the gospel. So let me ask you, as I close, have you fled for refuge? And have you laid hold upon the hope that is set before you in the gospel? If not, then flee to that refuge without a moment's delay. Flee from your sin and flee to Christ, who will gladly pardon you and who will gladly receive you. This world is a very dangerous world to live in, and life within it is very uncertain. Yes, and death is indiscriminate. There is no other hope. There is no other refuge. But the only hope is found in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In light of this ongoing pandemic, may God be pleased to fix these truths in our hearts, and may they be used to bring you to Christ for salvation if you are not yet saved. May God help you to ponder these very principles, and may tonight be the night of your salvation. May the Lord be pleased to bless His word to your soul tonight. Let's bow our heads, please, in a word of prayer together. Let's pray. Our loving Father, in the Savior's blessed and holy name, we come before Thee, Lord. We reminded, Lord, of how Paul would take these great events in Israel's history and remind the people in Corinth not to make the same mistakes, but to learn from history. And Lord, how sad it would be if we have failed to learn, Lord, these very simple yet important truths as we have gone through recent history within our own province and within our nation and within our world. O God, use such truths to trouble the heart and to bring, O God, the sinner to the realization that they need a Savior. In the words of the hymn writer, in times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure, your anchor holds and grips a solid rock. Oh, may there be a flying to Christ tonight. And may the sinner seek the cleansing of Jesus' blood. And may, O God, there be joy in the presence of the angels over sinners repenting from their sin. Bless thy word, use that which has been of thee, and bring glory to the Lamb who for sinners was slain. Answer prayer. We offer these petitions in and through the Savior's precious name. Amen.